Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Back in on the Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM ESPN, and joining me now, as he does every single Monday, that would be the Associate Executive Director of the AutoZone Liberty Bowl, Harold Grader on X at Harold Grader. Harold, it's always the weeks that feel like ho-hum weeks, where we get the most surprises and the most chaos, but this week was phenomenal in college football. How'd you feel? What'd you do this weekend?
Yes, it was. I was in Tuscaloosa,
okay.
Vandy, Alabama, revenge week for the Crimson
no
Tide.
No real drama there by the end, but.
Oh, it was, I got to tell you know, I am all in with what Clark Lee is doing at Vandy. I was eager to see Pavia play. I was at the Alabama-Vandy game last year in Nashville when Vandy just manhandled them and Alabama couldn't do anything right. Two good football teams, minimal turnovers, minimal mistakes, good ball game. But at the end, Alabama at home did what they had to do to win. And impressive, good win for Alabama. But I got to tell you, Gabe, I still believe that Vandy is going to win a bunch of football games.
Yep.
And they're in for, again, a special year for them. Not going to say they're going to be in the hunt for the SEC championship, but they're going to have another really, really good season, and they're a fun team to watch.
Now, flipping that around on Bama, though, how do we feel about them? I have the same question I had last week. What do we do with Bama the rest of the year when we discuss them? Like, it used to be where Nick Saban, you get to this point in the season, maybe you've lost one. They would win a bunch of games because they knew their back was against the wall, and they would win these games before the ball was kicked off. I don't feel that way about Alabama anymore.
Yeah,
but,
I don't either.
But they're still a very good team, and Ty Simpson's playing some of the best quarterback in the country.
I agree, but I'm with you. I don't have that feeling of overwhelming confidence that they can just roll the ball out there and win the ball game. That is the Saban factor, was the Saban factor. Now, this Alabama team, from what we saw opening day against Florida State to now, much different football team, much better football team. But still, it's week to week, and let's see what they do. And, you know, this week, another tough win for them to go on the road to Mizzou. We'll see.
Yep. All right. Now, getting into it. How about this? Number 7, Penn State. Goes on the road to UCLA and loses the ball game outright to an 0-4 UCLA team. It's the third time in the history of, I believe, ever. Let me make sure I get this correct, right? Teams to enter 0-4 or worse and defeat an AP top 10 opponent. Since 1955, this is the third time. Last time this was done, UTEP beat BYU on October 26, 1985. But Penn State, all that we thought about them, and this being the year for James Franklin. We'll talk about the team. We'll talk about James Franklin in a second.
Yeah.
All those thoughts are out the window. You can't lose a game like that.
Nope.
And Nico Iamaleava play the way he did, and an offensive coordinator, and Jack Neuheisel. We had a Neuheisel out there. At age 32,
and he looks,
I believe,
and sounds just like
his dad.
Yes,
he looks just like his dad.
Absolutely,
same disposition.
Yeah,
even
everything.
But you can't let him have 2 days of prep to get in a plan for Nico Iamaleava and look that terrible defensively. I mean, It felt like the whole season for Penn State came crashing down on Saturday.
Well, first, Nico. Nico lives.
Yes, yes.
He resurrected this week out on the West Coast.
Right.
Everybody forgotten about him. You know, he had screwed up the deal in Tennessee. He went out there, took less money. Total debacle at UCLA. So good for Nico.
Yes.
Good for
right.
Nico.
Right.
Now, Penn State and James Franklin. No doubt, Gabe, this is one of the worst losses, if not the worst loss, of his tenure at Penn State. Missed assignments, turnovers, penalties. I mean, come on. And let's face it, I think it's one of those situations, Gabe, where they lost last week to Oregon, and Oregon beat them again the next week. It's one of those
right.
hangover losses, and, you know, and that's been said over the years.
Yes.
You lost last week. Well, they beat you again this week because you had that hangover.
My sophomore year, we lost twice to Houston. I promise you. I know that to be true.
And for this UCLA team to be where they are today to where they started, preseason number two, all the pieces you thought were there. But I think we talked about this last week. I think I brought this up. About James Franklin in the context of where that program is, where he is. This just backs up my thought from a week ago.
Yeah.
I think the time has come that they separate themselves.
Yeah.
Meaning Penn State and James Franklin. This is season 12. I think he peaked it out last year, reaching the semifinals. Now, CFP, it is still there. I don't know what the odds are. Not as great as they were a week ago. I mean, and they still have Ohio State and Indiana coming up. Again, with James Franklin, I'll use the correlation of Kentucky basketball with Cal a
yes,
year ago.
Correct.
He'd been there about this length of time. It was time for a change. The school was needing a change. The coach was needing a change. Cal found Arkansas. Now I think James Franklin and Penn State have reached that same point.
All right. Now, you were the first to that. You were the first that enlightened me and sort of brought that thought to my mind. Could he find the same spot as Cal? Do you think
Maybe.
That, I mean, Arkansas and James Franklin, do we think that could
you
be
know,
a thing? I don't know if it's perfect by any stretch of the imagination.
You know, going back to what Hunter Yurecek, the Arkansas AD, said at the press conference announcing Bobby Petrino as the head coach.
Right.
I think he's looking for an established winning coach.
Check.
Culture.
Check, kind of.
Engage and enthuse the fan base again. I'm not sure James Franklin at Penn State does that.
What do you think the reaction from Arkansas fans would be?
Is it just, okay, we agreed to part company? Does he, quote unquote, get fired? Does he, what does that look like?
Yeah.
I'm not sure. I mean, certainly James did a great job at Vanderbilt.
Right.
He's coaching the SEC. He knows what it's all about.
There's a floor with Franklin. There's a floor.
I mean, I think his name might come up. It'll be interesting to see what happens there. But again, Gabe, I just think the time has come.
Yes, no doubt about it. All right, now, kind of a weekend of reckoning for another team that has been sort of masquerading, I guess, there in the top 10. But Texas loses to Florida, and I'll be the one to say it. You know, I'll pat myself on the back. Hopefully I don't break my arm while I'm doing it. I figured this one would come down to a fourth quarter where Florida had a chance to win. That's just how I felt, because as much as we gave the hype to Texas in the preseason, they just have not lived up offensively, definitely not defensively,
no.
Even though. There's a lot there to be desired. They're not the best defense in the country. So they needed some help from the offensive side of the ball. They just haven't gotten it so far this year. And Arch, I'm not out on the kid. He's still young. He can still learn. But it's not getting actively better game to game. And that's what's frustrating about him.
But I would say a lot of that is the O-line. You're the expert in the room on that topic. They gave up 7 sacks to Florida. Arch hurried throughout the game, harassed throughout the game. His numbers, 263 yards, 2 touchdowns, 2 picks. Obviously, he's got work to do. That O-line has work to do. They can't. Texas can't run the ball.
Yeah, they can't.
Cannot can't run the ball. And in the SEC, you can't win without running the football. Because when they know you can't run, then what is the defense going to do? They're going to key on the quarterback. They're going to key on shutting them down the passing game. You ain't got a chance. You ain't got a chance. So Texas has a lot of work to do. They play OU in Dallas this week. And that's going to be interesting because talking about flipping the script, OU, I would say, is now where we thought Texas would be at this juncture of
100%.
The season. Now, they don't have Mateer, so you have to deal with that. But Texas teetering on not making the playoff.
Yeah.
And, you know, this week, that's a big one. It's a big one. Texas has, I would say Texas has to win this week. And that's going to be a challenge. That's going to be an interesting game to keep an eye on.
Can we do a quick blind resume just for fun on Steve Sarkisian? And I think Steve Sarkisian's a fine head football coach, okay? But I just want to do a blind resume really quick. Coach A, this is Steve Sarkisian, 41-19. Coach B, 39-21 through the first 60 games. Steve Sarkisian, 2 top 10 wins. Coach B, 5 top 10 wins. Steve Sarkisian, 1 number 1 recruiting class to this guy's only. He's only got 1 number 1 recruiting class. So very similar numbers, right? You know who Coach B is?
Coach B is?
Jimbo Fisher.
Ha!
I just, like,
interesting.
I think, I'm not saying Sark's in trouble. I'm not saying Sark's a bad coach. I'm not saying any of that. But his tenure hasn't been as unreasonably successful as it seems to be painted in the national media a lot, especially in the preseason.
It hasn't, but you got to remember, where was that program when he took it over?
Sure.
I go back to, I think it was the first season, maybe second season. I was at their game in Austin when they lost to a very lowly and beleaguered Kansas team that had no business winning
that game. I remember that game.
Remember that?
Was that their one win that year? Or
it might have been.
Or they may have had 2 wins?
Yeah.
Was Beatty still there, David Beatty? Is that who that was?
So, again, got to put it in context. When OU and Texas entered the league, everyone was in agreement that Texas was quote-unquote SEC ready. Oklahoma wasn't. Now, with Mateer going into the year, everybody's touting Mateer as perhaps maybe the best quarterback in the league. Certainly one of the best quarterbacks in the country, could be a Heisman guy, right?
Right.
He's out, but the bigger picture is OU has vastly improved over a year ago. They have continued to build. Give Brent Venables his kudos for that. Texas, preseason all everything. Yeah. Arch is going to win the Heisman. They're the team to beat. Hasn't played out that way. But when your O-line plays the way it's playing, you ain't got a chance.
In now, SEC play, you're cooked.
Now, let's look at the other side. And I made this statement to some folks last week. Don't know if I said it on this show, but Billy Napier, the dude has a record of when his job is on the line, he sneaks up and wins a game like that.
He just makes it impossible on the Florida higher-ups to fire him.
I mean,
that's what he tries to do.
Exactly. So to do it at home, I'm not surprised. Now, are they going to stub their toe against another one that they shouldn't? Probably, because that's what happens at Florida with Billy. We'll see.
I am only surprised in the sense that he got DJ Lagway after the bye week to turn around and play good football again. Because he looked horrible in those 2 weeks leading into that bye
week. Yes, he did.
Five picks, and then he was so gun-shy that he only threw for 60 yards. I think he only had 21 passes, too. So I was amazed at that part of it. I wasn't amazed they won the game outright. I wasn't amazed they even had a shot to win the game. But I was amazed that Billy Napier was able to get that out of his quarterback after the season he's had so far.
Yeah, and going back to Texas, they ended up making a game of it, came down to the last play of the game, which was an interception by Florida in the end zone. But Texas battled back. You got to give them that. But playing in a swamp is tough. And looking at the Texas situation, the rest of the season, as I mentioned, they're playing the OU game in Dallas this week at the Cotton Bowl, at Kentucky, home Mississippi State, Vandy, at Georgia, home to Arkansas, home to A&M. So the remaining games, you have the quote-unquote neutral site game in Dallas, and then just two other road games, at Kentucky, at Georgia. The rest are at home in Austin. So the schedule lines up very favorably for Texas.
Yep.
So the opportunity is there to get right and get back in this thing. Will they? We'll see. O-line play has got to vastly improve.
Need more than 20.
Arch has to he has to play much, much better.
Yeah, that O-line, though, 26 carries for 53 yards on Saturday and 7 sacks.
Yep.
And Arch Manning was the leading rusher. Quinn Wisner, who I think is a good back, 8 carries for 11 yards. Got to do something better. Got to figure something
Absolutely.
Out. Got to figure something out. All right, now a team that we've been sort of going back and forth about, like when we talk about national championship contenders, it's Miami. Miami gets a win. 28-22, I think, was the final score over Florida State. I know the bettors were happy about that the field goal was kicked there at the end. I think it was a 4.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
A four-point spread, and Mike Norvell comes down. They get into the red zone. I think it's second down, and he decides early to just kick the field goal, and then try the onside kick because they didn't have any timeouts. But either way, Miami, how legitimate are they in your opinion?
I think they are.
Talk short list, do we talk top three most likely to win a title, top four? Where would you put them?
Top three or four somewhere in there. Yeah. Ohio State, Oregon?
Ohio State, Oregon. Gotta pick somebody from the SEC, right? Or not yet.
Maybe not yet.
Yeah.
Maybe not yet. We got to play some more ball. But, they're 5-0, number two in the country. They got it done. They got it done on the road, right? That game was in Tallahassee. The almost forgotten man, Carson Beck, doing it for the Canes. Another good ball game, 20 of 27, 241, 4 touchdowns. Pretty impressive resume for him. They're getting it done. And again, winning on the road, I don't care what level you're playing at in college football, winning on the road is not easy. And to go into FSU and do what they did, just another impressive win for them. Now, just a note for Mike and his guys. It was 28-3, I think it was, in the fourth quarter. And they came back to make a game of it. But still, our friend Mike Norvell and the Seminoles just kind of stumbling, bumbling around. And we'll see.
They're better than last year, which is, I think, the ultimate, you give them the pass for that. At least you're a winning team in all likelihood. You're probably going to – I mean, 8-9 wins is still on the table for you. So
yeah.
turning around 2-10 and having at least a capable team.
Yeah, and looking at Miami's schedule the rest of the way, Gabe, they've got Louisville next. Louisville, 4-1, having a
good
year.
That's a solid team.
Then Stanford, they're 2-3, at SMU, 3-2, Syracuse, 3-3, NC State, 4-2, having a good year. At Virginia Tech, 2-4, at Pitt, 3-2. So when you look at what Miami has left on their schedule, Louisville, at SMU, NC State. The rest of them, pretty manageable.
Yep.
Pretty manageable.
Yep. Miami,
so
though.
So we shall see.
Miami, though, the one thing I do notice about them, and just it just jumps off the screen every time, they have an enormous amount of talent all over that field. They're one of those teams that you see them get off the bus, and you're like, that team should be able to win a national championship.
Right.
Reuben Bain, Akeem Mesidor, those guys on the defensive line, then their offensive line. I don't know if you've just taken a gander just when you're watching the TV copy. Usually you have to be on the sideline to really capture how big these guys are, but they are massive up front, and they don't let Carson Beck get touched, and they can run the ball. They are a complete football team. One of the few I have seen this entire year. Now, let's get to the AP poll. Let's get to the AP poll, where the Memphis Tigers busted in.
How about it?
Number 23.
How about them
number
Tigers?
Number 23 in the country. All right, beat Tulsa 45-7. I think Ryan has adopted style points. This is really fun. This is fun to watch.
Absolutely. 6-0, bowl eligible.
Yep.
The first and only team in the country that is bowl eligible. So kudos to the Tigers for that. The bowl string continues. 10 straight wins, 46th straight game to win to score 20 or more points.
That's wild.
So you keep notching those little mile markers each week. Good for the Tigers. Happy for Ryan, this football team, their fans, to get that national recognition. 23 in AP, 25 in the coaches' poll, and taking care of business.
Mm-hmm.
They have bigger things they're playing for, so not a whole lot of hoopla around getting bowl eligible. And that's a good thing.
Yep,
because that has become the minimal standard and expectation of this program. So the fact that they didn't throw a parade and go crazy, hey, we're 6-0, we're going to a bowl game, good for the Tigers. And that is a good thing because they're playing for something much, much bigger, and we all know what that is, conference championship, potential spot in the playoffs.
Yep, those are
great.
The goals. Those are
absolutely
the goals. All right, now looking around the rest of the AP poll, before I let you roll, we have three teams, so like the conversation about AP top 10 teams that'll drop out of the AP top 25 altogether. Three teams that have done that. Texas at number one in the preseason, Penn State at number two in the preseason, Clemson at number four. But let me make sure I count these right. We have eight teams that were in the AP preseason poll that are completely dropped out. We have a lot of teams around the country that are just not performing like it. Texas, Penn State, Clemson, South Carolina, Florida, SMU, Kansas State, Boise State. All dropped out. Gone.
And, Gabe, I think that is a reflection of what coaches and team general managers have been saying for the last couple of years with NIL, transfer portal, that the days of having a dominant team, an undefeated team, they've all been saying those days are over. And it was fans get ready. Your team's going to take a loss or two or three.
Yeah.
And that's just the reality that we're in. I know some folks on the national level are saying, maybe we need to do away with the preseason polls. Look,
no.
You know what?
Oh, keep
that's
them
nonsense.
There.
It's all about the fun of the monotony of summer and preseason. It gives us something to talk
like
about.
We like lists, especially here on Sports Talk Radio. Give me my list.
Absolutely.
Don't take my lists away from me.
Now, the poll that matters will come out next month, and that's the first CFP poll and ranking. That's the one that matters. But in the meantime, from a Memphis perspective, we're going to take it. We're going to enjoy it. Let's go for it. And again, let's look at the Tigers' schedule.
Yep.
Off this week. Rest. Heal up. Get ready. At UAB. And I don't care if we're playing in a parking lot.
And it could be in Antarctica. I don't care.
Yes. It's going to be a tough game. So come ready to play. Then their hope, Biggie.
Biggie. Yes, this is the big one.
If you take care of business at,
yes,
at,
correct,
in
correct,
Birmingham.
Yes, correct, correct, correct.
Because here's the thing. When you get to this situation, undefeated, 6-0, nationally ranked, we all know what the end goals are, that with every win, the next one becomes even bigger and bigger and bigger. And that's a good thing.
Yep.
So got to take care of business in Birmingham in a week. Then you're home to South Florida, number 24 in the AP this week. Then it's at Rice, home to Tulane, at East Carolina, and they close it out Thanksgiving night to Navy. So it's there. That's the road ahead. But it starts a week from Saturday in Birmingham.
In Protective Stadium.
Cannot get out over your skis. Cannot get ahead
of
yourself.
In the Battle of the Bones.
Here you go.
And lug that big-ass trophy back home with you, the one that's like 75 pounds. But, Harold, I appreciate it. Great
yes,
stuff
sir.
As always. He is Harold Grader, the Associate Executive Director of the AutoZone Liberty Bowl.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.